Yeah, just maybe a little bit about myself. You know, I was an engineer before I became a pastor.
God wants you to
overcome from Taiwan.
Be a victor.
And like Pastor everything
in your
said,
life.
When I was 40 years old.
Whatever you say,
actually,
whatever you do.
40 years
do
old.
Do it in
actually,
love.
It,
not
in
do
terms
it
of
in
my
fear.
Achievement in the world.
Your word
pretty, pretty
will
good.
No longer be
I was,
cursing.
A
but
director
will be blessing
in a,
to
in
everyone around you.
Semiconductor company.
I
and
bless
I
you in Jesus'
drive
name.
Between
that all your relationship will be restored.
China and
all your family members
under me
will be blessed
and,
by you. Your church member, your
yeah,
friends,
at that time,
your
but,
co-workers
yeah,
will be blessed
it's
by you.
It's not easy for me to become a
you
Christian.
Will release
just
the beauty
be you.
Of God.
Because
you will release the blessing.
When I
of God.
Was young,
even signs and wonder, miracle and healing. Will
you know,
come from
my
you.
Heart.
And people's calling and their destiny will be released
really God,
because
you know?
Of you.
And I always think
the
that
world
people who go to church are the
a much
weak ones.
Better place.
Yeah,
of
so it's
in
by
Jesus
God's
name.
Grace.
Amen.
Because I got married
thank
in
you.
87,
thank you.
1987, and then I got saved in 1997. So that means I have 10 years of marriage without God. Can you imagine, I got a PhD in computer science. My wife got a PhD in music. It's very different. And I very, like I said, I'm a very prideful person, arrogant person. So you can imagine a marriage is not going to be easy for us. And my wife always said, I become a Christian because God had mercy on her. Yeah.
Amen.
But God is good. So today I will actually share with you the message is called Deliver Us from Evil. All right. And everybody knows that's Jesus teaches us how to pray. Lead us not into temptation, right? And then deliver us from evil. And I'll just pick that deliver us from evil. And share about, you know, what does that really mean personally to me? Okay, I'm not trying to say this is the only way to read the Bible. I'm just saying this is how I see it. What is evil? What does that mean, deliver us from evil mean? What is evil? You know, bad people? You know, we always pray deliver us from evil, like don't let me encounter accident. Don't let the, you know, disease come upon me, you know, all these bad things happen. Don't, you know, keep me away from these terrorists, whatever, right? But where's the really the evil come from? Where? Huh? Sin. Okay, well, very good. Where's the sin come from? It's from our heart, right? Well, David, what do you want to say?
Specifically refers, it's an actual noun, the evil one. It's deliver us from the evil one. And so I would say in this particular prayer, he's referring to deliver us from the tempter, from the adversary.
Okay.
But evil itself, like she was just saying, comes from within us. It comes from our own desires.
Thank you, David. Yeah, it's actually, in the Greek, actually, when it says the evil, delivers from evil, not just evil, but the evil one, right? So now, today, we can talk about, oh, the evil one, the capital E, capital O, is the Antichrist, right? So save us not to, like, have the Antichrist over us, right? Deliver us, right? Now, here's a question. When the Antichrist really come on this world theme, will you be for him or will you be against him? Can you really identify him? And the Bible actually says many, many will fall away. Even you are Christian. You are proclaiming you are Christian. Many of you, many of us, you know, I don't want to finger point. I just want to say it's all about our heart. It's all because, you know, even Hitler, when he came on scene, remember? Most of the church in Germany welcomed Hitler. They couldn't see. They got blinded. Because why? Because they have the same spirit. The evil one, the Antichrist, is not just one person. It's a spirit. The question is, what kind of spirit do I have? You know, if my spirit is still prideful, you know, and probably the same spirit, like the evil one, right? So I want to share with you, you know, let's go to a Bible verse. I want to show you the book of Revelation. Let's go to Revelation. Yeah, 21, verse 7 and 8. All right, I'll read it from ESV. All right, do you have that? Revelation 21, 7 to 8. Okay, so my reading may not be the same, but that's okay. Mine is ESV. Well, actually, why don't we just go and read it there now? Okay, those who are victorious will inherit all this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars, they will be consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death, all right? So we call that the lake burns with the sulfur. That's like hell, right? So I want to ask, how many of you here think that you are saved? Raise your hand. Okay. So some people didn't raise hand, means that you don't know you are saved or not sure. Okay, we probably pastor need to talk to them afterward, okay? So, But here it says that those who are victors, or in the ESV says those who are conquerors or the overcomers. I think you are right now in a theme about arise and then what? And then fight and then overcome, right? So this is pretty much, you know, what do we overcome? That's a question, right? What are you overcoming? And here it tells you that those who are victors, those who are conquerors, then they will receive the heritage. It doesn't say that those who pray the prayer, okay, or even like you say, I go through the ritual, I got baptized, you know, 20 years ago, and I pray that prayer, salvation prayer, you know, and so I will be there. You know, it says that those who are victors, so victor over what? You have to ask that question. Victory over what? You know, it says here, it says that he will receive the heritage. And then God says, I will be his God. And he will be my children, my son, right? And then he says that, then who are the ones that are not victors? Then the next thing here says that those who are cowardly, those who are faithless, unbelieving, okay, or detestable, or murderers, sexual immoral. Now here's the question. The day that you profess that Jesus is Lord, right? Jesus is my Savior. Does that make you a victor automatically? Does it? Salvation is a gift. Right, David, you have Yeshua on your car plate. Yeshua, yeah, you can go out. He got a, is that a band, right? And then he has a copyright. Yeshua. What's Yeshua mean? Okay, I was asking. You know, of course. Okay, everybody say Yeshua means salvation. Salvation. Yeah. Just a side note. You know, I was on the airplane to Tel Aviv to Israel, and then this rabbi sitting next to me. You know, and I, when I realized he's a Israel, you know, Jewish rabbi, I take out my an app that I developed. It's called Verse Rain. You can download a Bible Verse Rain. It's a app to memorize Bible. So I took it out and I started to play Hebrew. And he looked at me and says, "How do you know Hebrew?" And I said, "Because there's a Jewish man that I admire the most, and he's a Jewish man." He said, "Really? Who is that?" And I say, "His name is Yeshua." He said, "Yeshua? Who is that?" And we spent 3 hours talking about Jesus. Hallelujah. Yeah. So, you know, Yeshua, that's the name of Jesus. And so people, when people say, you know, Jesus, if he's son of God, how come his name is not in the Old Testament? I'll tell you, it's everywhere. Yeah, we raise up the cup of salvation, right? The cup of salvation. Why is that? Because that cup of, you know, that's a communion. That's the blood of Jesus, the blood of Yeshua. So salvation is a gift because God says that he loves the world so much that he gave his one and only son. Right? That whoever believes will receive this eternal life, right? So salvation is a gift. It's an instant. The moment you believe, you receive it. But victory, you have to go through warfare. And it's a lifelong. Every day, every minute, believe it or not, you know, everything you say, everything you do, all the relationship is either love-based or fear-based. Do you believe that? You know, when you're talking to people, when I come into here to speak to you, if I'm like, I'm very afraid, will they accept me or not? You know, if I say the wrong thing, you know, they reject me and da-da-da. You know, do I perform well enough? Then I will be trembling in fear. But that's not the fear that God wants. God only wants us to have one kind of fear. What is that? Fear of the Lord. Right? I don't need to fear of man. You know, and I believe that if God loves me, I'm his son, there's nothing I really need to be afraid of. Amen? Right? So, you know, I don't need to worry about my performance today. Right? And I believe that you love me. I believe that you love me. Even if I say something wrong, you don't need to accept all my theology, whatever, you know, but I want you to love me. thank you. Yeah. You know, a lot of things that everything that we are thinking of, everything that we're talking to people, the relationship, it's either love-based or fear-based. That's why the Bible says that, how do you cast out fear? The perfect love casts out fear. You know, the Bible here says that who are the victors? You know, those who actually can overcome fear. It's not like I'm afraid of mouse. Ooh! You know, then I'll go to hell. Just because you're afraid of mouse, you go to hell? You're afraid of spider, you go to hell? You're afraid of, you know, there's a lot of things that we may be afraid of. Like we fear of like disease, cancer, right? You know, financially broke or, you know, lose jobs, whatever, right? Let me ask you, is fear good or bad? Yeah, it can be good, right? People have no fear. They will say, I have no fear, you know, somebody get drunk and he go to the, you know, the World Tower and jumping off and it's like, he got drunk, right? It's not like he's not afraid of height. He's just get drunk, right? He's not Superman, right? So fear sometimes is good, you know, give you a boundary, you know, but God is, this kind of fear, Bible says, it's not about, you know, fear of these things. I mean, fear is a natural protection, okay, that you will be not too, you know, like you do stupid things, basically, right? But then God talking about the fear talk about here is the fear of man. And a lot of time we have the fear of man, and I'm struggling with that. Even I'm a pastor now. I struggle with that. A lot of time, you know, I don't want to reconcile with a person. You know, when there are misunderstanding, two person, you know, and there's something that happened, and I presume that he doesn't like me or something, and so there are misunderstanding. And then, do you have the courage really to face up to the person? And reconcile and overcome the fear. And that's not an easy thing, but that's God wants us to do every day. You just have to trust, you know, God wants you to become a victor. And how many things are there that we need to overcome? You know, one time when I was praying and God showed me this Chinese character, the word in English is evil, all right? The evil in Chinese. Do you know what's the word? Okay? Do you know that word? This word? Can you recognize this? This is the word, Chinese character, the ancient Chinese character for evil, all right? Okay? And so, today's writing is a little bit different, okay? The above part is a ya, ya, zo, ya. Okay? And then the lower half is a heart. Okay? And God showed me, you know, David, you are not really a bad person, but your heart is evil. I said, what? You know, why God you say that? And then God, like, let me look at this word closer. And, you know, the top part actually is the, it's a crossroad. It's a crossroad. Okay? So when it's a crossroad, you can think of it, it's like, this way is you go to God, man to God. And then horizontal is a human, interhuman relationship. But the evil heart, okay, this Chinese character is very interesting. Evil heart is when the roads are all blocked. When your heart is blocked, all right? Your heart condition, that's your heart condition. And God says that because you don't want to communicate to people, you have fear of man, and also you have pride. You have hurt, the unhealed hurt, and you don't want to, you know, be brave enough, courageous enough to face up to it. That broke off your relationship, not just to human, you know, other peers, but also you're blocking me to communicate, to talk to you. You know, the Bible says that blessed are those who are, you know, pure heart, right? Pure heart, right? For they can see God, right? What's blocking our heart? What is blocking? You know, easily said, somebody can give me something. What's blocking our heart right now? Unforgiveness, very good. What else? Jealousy, very good.
Shame,
wow, powerful. Yeah. Guilt, yeah, shame, guilt, you know, fear, right? Unbelieving, the Bible says that because they are unbelief, their heart is evil, right? Wow, you know, now you see that. You can see the evil, it's not necessarily doing bad things, okay? Like, you know, the enemy come to rob, to steal, to kill, right? We think those are evil, but the Bible says that evil is more than that. Evil is when you have fear, your heart become evil. When you are unforgiving, when you are ashamed, when you are guilty. You know, let's think about it. You know, like even anger. What's the root of anger? Self? Selfishness? Hurt? Okay. Well, my take, I know there's no right and wrong. It's very good. Selfishness. Okay. When you look inside, that's exactly what it is. When you look inside. Okay. The Bible, you know what, in the chapter 3, Genesis, right? The Adam and Eve, they're hiding themselves. They're hiding, right? And when God said, why are you hiding, right? What did they say? We are afraid because we are what? We are naked. Is naked a bad thing? I mean, babies are naked. They are beautiful, right? Do they need to feel shame? No, they don't need to feel shame. All right? Naked itself is not a bad thing. Actually, the last verse in the book of Genesis, last verse, chapter 2, what does it say? Adam and Eve, they were naked, and they are not ashamed. Wow! Naked, but not ashamed. Okay? Here is the point. How come Adam and Eve, when they take the fruit, right, the fruit of the good and evil, right, when they eat it, and suddenly they look at each other and say, wow, you are naked. What happened? What happened? You know, they were actually, they are naked, but they are not really naked, you know. Why? Because they were covered. They were covered. They don't need to wear clothes because they're actually covered by the glory of God. They actually have this body actually like shining, like, you know, Jesus is on the Mount of Transfiguration, right? 变相山, Transfiguration, right? It's shining, right? His whole body is shining. He doesn't need to put on clothes. You know, when Jesus, he was being, you know, raised up on the cross, right? Our naked eye look at him, say he's naked. But you know how God look at him? is glorious. John 17, verse 1, Jesus says, Father, glorify your Son now so that your Son may glorify you. But, you know, the word glory and nakedness is like totally different. I mean, how does Father God glorify Jesus by putting him naked on the cross? It's not the clothes that you are wearing, you understand? It's your heart condition. That Jesus, he is so free, he's so flowing with God. There's no shame. He knows it doesn't matter what I wear or what I don't wear. It's my fellowship with God. I don't need to worry about how people look at me. You know, God wants us to overcome all kinds of fear. All kinds of fear. And our arrogance. You know, so that's why, you know, when we talk about the victory, you know, be overcomers, be conquerors, it's all about your heart condition, right? The Bible in the Proverbs says that keep your heart, right? Guard your heart, right? Because the spring of life come out from your heart. Come out from your heart. You know, a lot of time we don't want to. I don't know about you, you know, I have a lot of, like, sometimes, you know, I don't like this person. I don't like the way they talk, you know, da-da-da. You know, I have a lot of grunting in my heart, you know. And God says that your heart is evil. The reason you don't like this person, you couldn't bear this person, you're judging this person, your heart is evil. Not the person is evil, but you are evil. If you can really see that person, how God sees them, yeah, they have shortcoming. You know, they have some addiction, they have some problem, temporary issue, whatever. But you know what? Whose image are they made of? They're God's image, not the, you know. But when you look at them, and you can, you are very able to criticize other people, you are not having the eye of God. You need to see them with the eye of God. And God look at them like, this is my children. This is my children. I made him. Even though he has something he need to overcome, but why don't you help him? Why don't you help him? Instead of criticizing him. You know? And let me tell you, it's not easy for me. I'm telling you, you know, I'm a pastor. But, you know, when I go to Father God, my title does not help me. Oh, so you are a pastor, huh? You know, one day when I see Jesus, right? Oh, you know, God is not going to ask you, you know, what have you accomplished? God is going to ask you, are you a conqueror? Have you overcome all these things, you know? It's a daily life thing. I'll just share with you a testimony, you know, truly. I was really a very bad-tempered person, arrogant person, and I was a director in a company, you know. I can fire people, you know. I can rebuke people, you know. But, you know, when God called me and to be a pastor, wow, you know, it's totally different. If God can change me, God can change everybody, I believe that. Okay? Yeah. And just want to share, you know, before I become a Christian, and, you know, my wife, she's also a piano teacher. She got a PhD in piano performance, and also she was in music conducting. And so she, when we were in Dallas, and she was teaching like 40 students. And so one time, you know, my daughter at that time is about six years old. And so she learned from her mom for 1 year, piano. And then one day my, you know, they have this piano, competition, all right, for the teacher association. So my wife take all the students there, and I'm the father, so I took my daughter there. And my daughter that day, she played horribly, all right. And I was like so angry, and that's before I become a Christian, all right. And she was 6 years old. I become a Christian when she was 9 years old. So that's like a couple of years before I become a Christian. So I was really an angry man at that time. And then after her performance, you know, she only learned for 1 year, and then she come out, and I gave her a very bad look. Terrible. Okay, this is like, your mom is a piano teacher. You know, she has so many good students. And look at you, you know, you're losing my face. Right? I mean, I feel shame, you know, by her performance. You know, so I was really angry, and she was so sad, and she's ashamed of herself too, right? So she was like, and so she followed me. I said, go to your mom. And then I walk in the front, she followed me, and then when she saw her mom, she ran to her mom, she cried, and she said, I don't want to learn piano anymore. That's it. And she's a very stubborn girl, okay? When she says she doesn't want to learn, that's it. So she only learned 1 year from her mom, and that's it, never learned. And so I come to California, and I become a Christian in Dallas, and then I go to seminary school, but I didn't finish it. And then God called us to relocate me here in California. And then we go to the Forerunner Church, and Pastor Grace, and she has a teaching on the inner life. Okay, and then we learn, you know, how to praise God, we learn how to wait on the Lord. You know, wait on the Lord is like a practice that you do every day. You sit there quietly and listen to what the Holy Spirit speaking to you. You know, so that's kind of a practice we've been doing. So that's like fast forward 6 years later when she was become like 12 years old. One morning I wake up from my nightmare. Okay, I had a nightmare, and I was like, in my dream, I was a terrorist. Okay? And a terrorist is, my weapon is the chewing gum. All right? And if I chew it, it becomes powerful. The more I chew it, the more powerful it is. And I chew it, and I take it out and throw it at people, and people will bomb, and they will die, and whatever, you know, the body part will fly apart. And so I blew up that person, you know, and then people start chasing me. You know, so in my dream, there are a lot of people chasing me. I get pushed to the high tower, and I take all my chewing gum, I chew it, and I chew it, and I throw myself down, and everybody died, including myself, and then I wake up. I was like, tremble, and I wake up. And it's like, my wife says, what happened? Is that earthquake? It's an earthquake, you know, because the whole bed is shaking. And I said, no, I had a terrible dream. And she said, what's a dream, you know? And I said, oh, it must be just a pizza, you know. And then she said, why don't you share? So I share with her, you know, wow, you know, that's a terrible, vivid, a terrorist dream. And then she says, yeah, I don't know, but why don't you ask God? What's that mean? So I said, okay. So I sit up, you know, like 6 o'clock in the morning. I sit up, I sit on the bed, and I start waiting on the Lord. And I kind of had a conversation with God and said, God, what is it that had this dream as a terrorist? You know, am I a terrorist? And then suddenly the Holy Spirit says, yeah, you are. I said, what? And I said, what is it? When I say, what is it? Immediately, God bring me back to that theme when I took my daughter to the piano competition. And it was like a vision, you know, even though I closed my eyes, it's like a vision. I can see vividly, very, like a slow motion movie. Every tree, every building, you know, everything, classroom. And then I see her playing piano, and when she come out, and I can see myself, like looking at myself in the movie, and every word speaking out from my mouth. And then God says that you as a father, instead of building up your daughter with your word are like weapon destroying her. And I gave her such, you know, promise and, you know, calling, but you are destroying it. If you are not a terrorist, what is it? And I was like, what? When I saw that, I was totally scared. I was totally scared. And so I pray, what should I do? And the Holy Spirit says, go to her and ask for her forgiveness. I said, really? So I sit up and I start praying. And then about like 7 o'clock, I go to her room and I wake her up. And I said, Melody, her name is Melody. I said, Melody, Do you remember 6 years ago that you go to the piano competition? Do you remember what happened then? And she said, she said, yeah, I remember. I said, Dad just got a dream. And Holy Spirit, show me that my word have, you know, hurt you and shatter you, and God want me to reconcile with you and ask for your forgiveness. And I said, would you forgive me? And she said, okay. You know, she's 12 years old. She really doesn't know much, but then I kneeled down by her bed and I put her hand over my head and I said, okay, would you just follow me, you know, to pray this prayer. And so I kneeled down, put her hand over my head, and I really humbled myself. And then I said, Father God, you know, I forgive my father, and da-da-da, you know. So, and she did, all right? And then after that, and I get up, and I put my hand over her head, and I start praying, and I said, Father God, I thank you for my daughter. And I pray that all the word that come out from my mouth as a cursing that break her, now I, by the power of the blood of Jesus, I reverse all the curse into blessing. And I pray double blessing over this child. I pray double blessing. You know, and I ask for God's forgiveness. I ask for my daughter's forgiveness. And I also bless her as a father. You know, so nothing really happened after that, you know, and it's like, okay, we did that. But then I go back to work. I know at that time I was still an engineer. And then a few days later when I go home, I found her playing on a piano. And she started, she only learned 1 year, okay, from her mom for 1 year. Very basic stuff. But she started, and she's not like playing the classical. She just play on the piano and start composing her own songs. And then God gave her just a lot of songs she started writing. The first song she wrote when she was 12 years old, she actually wrote the theme song for our children conference. And that year, and she wrote this song called I Know Who I Am. Okay, and the lyrics goes like, I know who I am. I sit at King Jesus' right hand. I know who I am. I'm the one who is loved by the King. You know? And then by her 15-year-old, she already has whole albums of songs. And I took her to, you know, a studio. I gave her like a birthday present. Take her to a studio and with her friends, and we record an album for her. And she didn't publish that. And then 2 years ago, she officially published her first album. And the song is called Beauty Arise. Do we have that? I wonder. Do we have the Beauty Arise? Can we show that? If not, that's okay. I just want to, you know, maybe you can hear it, and we can, I want to bless you with it, you know. And when you hear it, you can ask God, you know, I want to be an overcomer, all right? It's not easy sometimes to really go to people to reconcile. But God says that you have to overcome the fear. You have to overcome that fear. And because God wants us to be one family, we will be blessing. Yeah, you type in Melody Huang, H-W-A-N-G, Beauty Arise. That God made you in His image. And God wants you to overcome, be a victor every day in your life. Whatever you say, whatever you do, do it in love, not do it in fear. Your word will no longer be cursing, but will be blessing to everyone around you. I bless you in Jesus' name that all your relationship will be restored. All your family members will be blessed by you. Your church member, your friends, your co-workers will be blessed by you. You will release the beauty of God. You will release the blessing of God. Even signs and wonder, miracle and healing will come from you. And people's calling and their destiny will be released because of you. The world is a much better place because of you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.